by the gallery on Points Avenue, right next to the Wareham.
Welcome back to In Focus. Brady Bowman with you. And I am now here with Riley County appraiser Greg McHenry. We're going to talk about dark store theory, which is something that's been coming up more and more over the past few years. Before I get to that, I've asked everybody else this morning your favorite Glen Campbell song.
Yeah, that's a tough one. He has a lot of good ones, but I like the older stuff. You know, Wichita Lineman's probably pretty high on my list.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. That's very good song. Dave, are you going to tell us yours?
Gentle on My Mind.
Oh, okay.
That would be a very, very close
very
second.
Very pretty song.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. Now we got that out of the way. Moving on to dark store theory.
Yeah. This is going to be a dark conversation, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah. What does it mean?
Well, I'm going to try to make a semi-complicated subject a little simpler here for our listening audience. But long story short, there's a debate going on when it comes to property valuation appeals for larger commercial properties, what we typically call a big box retail, and a Kohl's or a Target or Home Depot, those kind of retail stores and properties would fit that category. What we have found in the last 2 to 3 years, really started about 3 years ago, were tax reps who are generally attorneys hired by the corporations or companies that own the properties, who are using a dark store appraisal theory in their arguments for a lower value. And what that means is their view of highest and best use, that's a phrase that we use in the appraisal business to describe how we should look at properties when we determine a valuation. Their highest and best use for properties like that would be to assume that they are vacant and or going to be vacant, and that kind of flies in the face of typical appraisal theory in our view. You know, we're mandated to, as all appraisers are, you know, to value a property in its current condition at that point in time. And it's kind of hard for folks like myself to drive by our big box retailers and see cars in the parking lot and sometimes lines at the cash registers and view that as a vacant property. You know, it's obviously not the case, at least in Manhattan. And that's the debate that's occurring now is, you know, what is the highest and best use of that property? And in our view, we cannot ignore the fact that those properties are actively being used. In some cases, many cases in Manhattan, they're thriving. They are not vacant. And there's no reason to believe that they'll be vacant anytime very soon.
And for them to say that they are vacant, what does that mean for their taxes? Does that mean it's a lower
valuation? Yeah, that's a good question.
Valuation? Is that?
It is, yeah. And typically, as a percentage of what we believe to be market value, those appraisals will come in at 50 or 60% of whatever our market value is. So there's a lot at stake. You know, obviously, on some of those properties, that could be a difference of $100,000 to $150,000 in property taxes. So there's a lot at stake here. One thing that's always kind of bothered me in the whole debate is the folks on the other side of the desk aren't local property owners or even local representatives of property owners. They're typically attorneys from Kansas City, Dallas, Chicago, who are representing their clients' best interests, but they are not familiar with the properties. They don't pay property taxes here themselves like our small business owners do and farmers and ranchers and individual homeowners. They're getting paid based on their ability to get that property value lower, i.e. their tax burden lower.
And again, this is something you see mostly with big box stores, mostly pretty large, wealthy corporations, I'm sure.
You know, one of the issues that they'll point out a lot is that they'll present a lot of sales of properties that have occurred maybe regionally, usually not in Manhattan, but, you know, somewhat regionally in the Midwest at least. And they're of properties where there's the properties are generally at a stage of their economic life where they're ready for redevelopment. And, there's been a new arterial built or a new retail corridor that's opened up, And so those, them and their competitors generally move and build in those higher traffic count areas and more popular areas. And so the property they leave behind is a dark store. It is vacant, and it is at a stage of life where it's ready for redevelopment. When I look around Manhattan on the Seth Childs corridor, Tuttle Creek Boulevard, Fort Riley Boulevard corridors, you know, you don't see a lot of areas that fit that description. You know, we're fortunate that our retail corridors are kind of centralized in a couple of different areas, and at this point in time, at least, those aren't in any jeopardy of becoming dark stores as a consequence of a new development growing somewhere else.
Now, is that something that your office has had to deal with in Manhattan at all recently with the dark store theory?
Yeah, we have, I think, 27 properties under appeal at the Board of Tax Appeals. That's the highest number we've ever had. And the majority of those would, and these go back, these aren't just current year. Some of these would go back as far as, I think, 2015. But the most of those properties would be dark store theory kind of cases. And it's not just us. Johnson County has some major caseloads going on there. I think all of their Target stores, as an example, are going to be bundled together. They have several Target stores in Johnson County. They're going to have one big two-day trial at Board of Tax Appeals where both sides will get to present their cases, and we'll see what Board of Tax Appeals decides. In recent rulings, Board of Tax Appeals has ruled in favor of the dark store appraisal theory. In some other states and other jurisdictions, legislation's been introduced to kind of curtail that and make sure that we're using good, typical appraisal practices to determine market value. That hasn't occurred yet in Kansas, and I don't know if and when it will, but it's a national issue right now in terms of property tax valuation.
And it just seems, I guess the word is misleading now that we like almost this PC word for lying, but if a store says they're a dark store and that they're vacant, yet they're open and generating income, it just reeks of dishonesty to me.
Yeah, I won't go there, I guess.
But you probably can't.
But it does fly in the face of the way we, all appraisers, not just those of us on the mass appraisal side, but all appraisers have typically used to value properties. And there's a debate among some of the fee appraisers as well, but it's always interesting to me when we have seen a few, and not from our local community at all, but a few of the so-called expert appraisals used in Board of Tax Appeals cases using a dark store appraisal theory for those purposes, and some of those same appraisers might use a more typical approach when they're doing it for another purpose, like financing, refinancing, etc.
Do they usually use this if they're like remodeling, even for a brief time? They'll say we're a dark store. It can be, say, remodeling for like a couple of days, but for that whole year, they could be considered a dark store. Could it work that way? Or?
Yeah, I really haven't seen it that way. The only dark store appraisal theory, or the only dark store appraisals we see, are typically at valuation appeals. You know, the Board of Tax Appeals. I think in Kansas, the Johnson County case will likely be one that will go beyond the Board of Tax Appeals, probably Court of Appeals, whoever wins the BOTA decision, and possibly Supreme Court after that. So it'll be a long haul.
Very big deal when you're considering property taxes as well. So
it is,
and we can go on. Not enough time for that, but thank you so much, Greg.
Sure.
For coming on.
Yep.
Dave, it's all yours.
When you shop at Carpet One of Manhattan, you're among members of the community. Carpet One of Manhattan.
I'm Steve Kaith, and new details have emerged in the investigation into President Trump's former campaign manager. We're live with CBS's Vicki Barker.
A spokesman for Paul Manafort confirms the FBI staged a pre